Jeffrey, I'm titling this episode, "If Your Books Don't Get You Referrals, You Suck as a Writer." Now, I want to be clear. What I'm talking about right at the beginning is more of the business of being a writer, not necessarily the actual craft of being a writer. However, there may be something to be said about if your writing isn't getting you referrals, it may mean that you suck at being a writer. I was thinking about this just as we were having our pre-interview conversation, talking about your experience being a professional ghostwriter. And I thought it'd be interesting just to hear your take on that title. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, I mean, it's certainly true. You know, most of us who are professional writers, we love writing. We love just sitting down and, like, you know, churning out prose and books and articles and things. But the reality is, you know, this is a business in which you have to really convince other people that of the value of what you have to offer. And, yeah. You know, it isn't necessarily evident. People don't really understand what we do. So if you can't get other people that you've worked with, if you don't get them to believe in what you've delivered, believe in the value of what you've delivered enough to communicate it to other people, you're going to find it very, very hard to make a career out of this.
Yeah. So, and, you know, this show was started as a way of getting, like, me to talk to writers so that I could be talking to writers through this podcast, not just about the craft of writing. I hope the episodes that focus on the craft of writing are interesting, but also the business of being a writer, because you have to make money as a writer. And there is a lot of money potential to be made in being a ghostwriter. How have you experienced this? Like, what's been your own story as a writer? Like, you're currently a ghostwriter, but have you always been a ghostwriter, or how did you get started?
Well, writing was actually a second career for me. And I started out as kind of just a low-level copywriter, you know, writing content for websites.
Yeah, a lot of me too. Started as a copywriter.
A lot of cosmetic dentistry. Yeah. You know, writing about Invisalign and different things. Anyway, eventually
I was writing about B2B podcasting.
Oh, there you go.
Most yeah, of the time. Sometimes I would be writing for client shows, and the writing would be like stuff I'd never even thought about, like, you know, using insects as a pesticide, like, because they were for client shows, and their client shows could be on any topic. But yeah, anyways, I also started as a content writer.
It's interesting. Yeah, I did that for a while, and eventually I made a connection through an individual who came across my LinkedIn page, and to this day I don't really know why I was singled out, but this particular individual needed help with a book they were writing, and for whatever reason contacted me, and it was a ghostwriting type job. So I helped out, and I guess the quality of the work that I produced and the speed at which I worked and the efficiency of working with me, it all kind of came together so well, and the results were so much what the client wanted that individual began referring me to their clients. And then their clients were pleased enough with the quality of the work and kind of the professional relationship they developed with me that they began referring me to people they knew. And so it became kind of a cascade of referrals that led to a career.
Yeah. One of the downsides of being a ghostwriter is the fact that you are living contract to contract. It's not like other business models where you have recurring revenue. I mean, there are ghostwriters that have recurring revenue in the sense that they are ghostwriting for social content, but that's not really what we're talking about in this episode. For your typical ghostwriter that's doing book deals, you are living, like, you're constantly trying to catch your next meal. And one of the challenges can be just the frustration and the anxiety around, like, when you're getting close to the end of a contract and you don't have the next one lined up, or, you know, if you're doing multiple at a time, you don't have the next ones that you need lined up to pay your bills. And one of the things that I try to think about is, like, okay, as I am struggling to get new business, I need to serve the hell out of my current customers. And that's part of what we're talking about here. But if you could go back and look at, I know you said it was providential, but if you go back and look at how you landed your first customer, do you even remember what your LinkedIn looked like when he looked at it? Like, what about you made him decide that he wanted to hire you?
That is a very good question, because quite frankly, my LinkedIn profile was a mess then. It was just a mess. I didn't really understand using it to get work. And so the only thing that I can imagine is that this particular client was just looking for somebody. It was very much a gamble on their part. And they were just looking for someone who could offer the services they were looking for. And I think that, quite frankly, if it had been a disappointing experience, you know, in other words, it wasn't so much that my page had nothing to offer, as far as I'm concerned. Very rudimentary at the time. And that usually doesn't work in creating a career. But what really turned that into this thing that began to cascade into referrals is the fact that this one particular client took a little bit of a gamble on me and was so pleased with the results of working with me that then turned into this kind of self-marketing machine that brought in a lot of work, and it has continued to this day to bring in work from referrals to referrals to referrals.
Yeah.
So I guess to answer your question, I would say, you know, when a client is willing to take a little bit of a gamble on you, they're hopeful, you know, then it's up to you to really fulfill and exceed their expectations. And if you can do that, then that can turn into something big that continues to echo and to resonate in you know, in your career for years. Yeah.
And I want to dig in with you, because we were talking before we hit record about different ways that writers, it's just hard, because this is the part of writing that makes every writer cringe, is the stuff that they have to do to be a good business person in the business of writing. But before we dig into that, I need to tell my listeners about my newsletter, monthlykidsbook.com. It's my newsletter that is literally just a free kids book from me every single month. Those of you that have listened to the show before, you know that I'm a professional kids book author. I run a kids book production company called Dinosaur House. If you have a kid age 4 to 10 and you want to inspire them to think like an entrepreneur, discover their purpose, or be inspired by creative careers, you'd be a doofus not to subscribe. We've made over 40 kids books on these topics. 9 of them are bestsellers. You'll get those first. Just go to monthlykidsbook.com and give me your burner email address. I don't care. You won't regret it. It's monthlykidsbook.com. Click it in the description if you have your phone in your hands. And Jeffrey, that's my first time recording this ad in that manner on this podcast. So if you hated that, listeners, please let me know.
I thought it was great.
Thank you. Okay. Getting back to what we were talking about. So the stuff about being a writer that makes other writers cringe, which is the business of being a writer and how to get more clients. What are some of the things that you found really move the needle for you? I mean, the first one is like literally like wow your first client so much like that they will tell their network. But what other things could you say about the business of being a writer?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's not just about the quality of the work that you do. It's also about the relationship that you develop. And being an introvert, you know, I don't feel like I'm not outgoing. You know,
and people most have writers are just, introverts.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it's a struggle for me because I think that clients walk away not just with, you know, did the book turn out okay, but they also walk away with some impression of the relationship, the working relationship they had with you. And, you know, it's been a big part of the referrals that I've gotten has not just come from the quality of the work I did, but also from kind of getting to know people, and they liked working with me. You know, they liked the professional relationship that we had. That they remember that positively, and maintaining that relationship after we're done working, because, you know, the referral may come 5 years down the road.
That's
because
true.
You're still in contact with them. You're still friendly with them, you know, and that's happened for me. You know, I've got people that I've worked with years ago. They get back in touch with me, but I've maintained some kind of connection with them to the best of my ability.
Something that you said before we hit record that I really liked is you talked about how even if you don't get, because ghostwriters sometimes get credit in the book, sometimes they don't get any credit at all. But it's like, even if you don't get credit in the book, that's not what's going to get you, like credit in the book is not what's going to get you more business off of that customer. What's going to get you more business off of that customer is if that customer is so happy with your, the two things. One, that customer has to be so happy with your work that they want to talk about you, at least behind the scenes. But yeah. Then two, that person that you worked with has to have a network of other people that could be in the market for your service.
Yeah, absolutely. I you know, I think there's a tendency sometimes when you're a ghostwriter to only think in terms of, you know, the actual work of writing the book. And then when you're done with it, you're done. But the reality is that every book that you, even if your name's not on it, every book that you put out there into the world is representing the value of what you have to offer.
That's
and
right.
So if you put something out there that's really good, you know, there's a lot of business leaders and there are a lot of thought leaders and subject matter experts who have ideas for a book and haven't written it and don't really know how to write it, or they've tried to write it and couldn't finish it. So there's always the possibility that, and this has happened to me many times, where they go to the author of a book they liked and they're like, who helped you with your book? Like, this is mm-hmm. great. This is what I want to do. And they point them in your direction. So, you know, it's important to remember that the value for you as a ghostwriter in the book is not just the work that you're doing that you're getting paid for immediately, but the books going out there into the world, you know, that represent the value of what you have to offer.
That's
even
right.
If your name's not on it.
But like you said, it's not just good enough that you are a good writer, because you also have to be good, at least good enough, at the skill of maintaining relationships, because you want that person to not just like your work, but to like the experience of working with you and to have some sort of positive relationship with you. So how do introverts who are writers, like specifically like in your niche, ghostwriter, how does an introvert maintain relationships? Like, how do you do it?
Well, there's no easy way to do it. It's pushing through the pain. You know, it is really, it's like when you're an introvert and you get invited to a party and you're like, oh, I like the people there, but going to a party sounds exhausting. Well, you just make yourself get up and go. You just go to the party.
By the way, just a little side nugget for anybody that feels that they get nervous whenever they think about going to a party. One of the easiest things that you could talk about with literally every person at that party, say there's people there that you know, and there's people that you don't know, the ones that you do know and the ones that you don't know, literally just ask them what the best thing that happened to them this week was and what the worst thing that happened to them this week was. And boom, you have a conversation. So if you struggle to make conversation with strangers and also people that you just kind of semi hang out with, there's your intro. There's your starter.
That's great.
And I do that with calls. Whenever I take a Zoom call, the first thing I talk about is what's the best thing going on? What's the worst thing going on? Because everyone wants to talk about that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and I think that's all it is you just have to do it. You just have to put yourself out there. And, you know, I know for me as well, once I kind of get to know a client, and once we've worked together for a while, maybe we've worked on multiple projects, or maybe we've just known each other for a while. Even as an introvert, it does get to the point where you feel comfortable with people, where you feel, you know, they really do become kind of a friend, you know, or at least a strong professional acquaintance. And that does make it easier. But you do have to push through that initial awkwardness as an introvert and get yourself out there.
I'll say too, like among like my 40 customers and then all the potential customers. Before I ran Dinosaur House, I made a living touring as a kids book author, and relationships was so important for touring, because you literally have to build relationships with the people who are in charge of who comes to visit their school. And so that it can get to a point where you're trying to manage like 200, 300 relationships just to keep an active tour life as an author. And so one of the things that I found, like just a couple helpful things that have been helpful for me, is if I make a point of blocking off time in my calendar throughout the year to check in on people, so that I'm literally just asking them about them. And it feels robotic to like block it into your calendar, but it can be really beneficial to be like, okay, you know, every 6 months I should ask this person something about their life. so that when it comes time for them to book me for coming to visit their school, when that's in season, like, they'll be thinking about me. And the same would, I think, would be true about being a ghostwriter. It's like, when they are in the season of needing a ghostwriter, that you have already been doing the work of maintaining the relationship with those potential customers.
Right. Yeah. I know one thing that is important for me is, you know, every once in a while you hear from people about potential projects. Well, it happens a lot, actually, potential projects. And it may be a client that I've already worked with who says, you know, I've got an idea for a second book. I'm not sure. I'm not ready to do it right now, but maybe one day. Or they refer you to somebody who's like, hey, I've got an idea for a book. I don't think I can do it right now, but I've just been thinking about it. Don't lose touch with those people. Check back in with them. Because sometimes I've had experiences where they kept saying, no, I'm not ready, no, I'm not ready, for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden they're ready. You know, you don't want to be a pest. You have to find that balance between, I'm just checking in to show you that I'm ready if you're ready, if you want to move forward on it, if there's anything I can do to help you, you know, start moving on this project. You have any questions or concerns about it? You know, you're approaching them from a position of, I want to help you get this project moving if you're ready.
Yeah. This is a whole art form that I need to do a whole separate episode on. So in the future, and listeners, tell me if this is something that you want to hear. I'd love to do an episode that's just focused on the art of artfully maintaining communication with someone that has expressed interest in your service. Because you're going to get so many more people that express interest in your service than you do get customers.
Yeah.
And so, like, maintaining those relationships is so important.
And there's a line between, you know, would you quit bothering me? Or, well, thanks for checking in. I'm not ready.
you gotta find
that line. Yeah.
Well, Jeffrey, this has been a really fun conversation. For listeners who want to check out more of your work, where would you recommend that they go?
You can go to my LinkedIn profile. But, you know, some of my best work is, what are the challenges of being a ghostwriter? Some of the best work that I've done that I'm the most proud of is hidden behind NDAs.
Yeah, that's right.
So I can't, you know, I don't really put it out into the world, some of the stuff I've worked on that I'm the proudest of, even though they've led to referrals that have led to other business. So you can find me on LinkedIn.
Awesome. And if there's one thing that you would want listeners to get out of this episode, what would that be? One piece of action that you'd want them to take?
Introverts, you've got to build relationships. You've got to make friends. You've got to get out there and get to know people, and you've got to maintain those relationships if you want to have a ghostwriting career.
Thanks, Jeffrey, for being a part of this episode. And thank you for tuning into another episode of Writing Better. If you're getting anything out of the show, please tell me. Please, in the form of a rating or a review, that would be the best way to tell me. If you leave a question in your review, I will start asking that question on the show. So if there's a burning question you've always wanted to answer, you've always wanted the answer by professional writers, writing it into your review on Apple Podcasts will make sure that I start asking that question on the show. Or if you're on Spotify, there's actually a feature built into Spotify Podcasts where you can ask a question off of an episode. So if you just type the question in that way, that's another way that I can make sure to incorporate your question in the show. An example would be, I've always wanted to know how an unknown writer can reliably sell thousands of copies of a book in the first few months of launch. So this is a question that currently I've been asking every single guest. And when I get good answers, I incorporate it into the show. So add your question by writing it into your review or in the Spotify field. And don't forget to sign up to my newsletter, monthlykidsbook.com, where I send you a free kids book every single month. That's it for me. Y'all are awesome. Keep blocking off time to write, and it will pay off in the end.